Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. I'm glad to meet with you this Sunday morning. Of course, my name is Brother Cotton, and I'm pastor of St. James Missionary Baptist Church. It's my pleasure and my honor to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Having said that, let us enter into a word of prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up, giving us the activity of our limbs, enabling us to be able to come together in this fashion, that we might be able to praise and worship your name today. You're great and you're greatly to be praised, and we're grateful. We're grateful, Lord, that this being a day that you have made, you've allowed us to have a part in it. I don't know how large a part, how small a part our part is, but Lord, we're here. That means you have something for us to do, and we're grateful. We're grateful. We pray, Lord, that we'll be able to do that which you've assigned our hands to do to the point that you are pleased with it. Allow us, Lord, to live and walk in this day in your spirit. We pray that in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can do this, even with our whole armor of God on, that we'd be able to stand against these tricks and traps and attacks that Satan has set up before us. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, we're going to go into our word today, which is coming to you from a very, very familiar passage of scripture. And that is the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th and the 17th verses. I know a lot of you saying, oh, you don't even have to read this out of the word. I could just quote it. And I'm sure that you can. But for the benefit of some of those who don't quite remember this passage of scripture, and you may be in a position that you cannot use your Bibles, I'm going to read this for your benefit. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th and the 17th verses. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. If you love me, you would do this. If you love me, you would give me this. If you love me, you would. And you see where I'm going with this. You see, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we tend to have our own concepts of how love should be expressed to us. Oh yeah, we have our own concept. For some people, hey, if you love them, you'll buy me diamonds and pearls and things of that nature. If you love me, you'll take me for trips around the world. If you love me, you'll buy me cars. I can really say expensive cars, but for some of us, it's just a car. If you love me, you'll give me this, and a lot of the things that we say that should be expressions of love to us. I'm sorry to say, most of them tend to be material things. But there are some also say, listen, if you love me, doesn't matter how I look, how big I am, how small I am, how smart I am, how unintelligent I am, doesn't matter if I have a disability, doesn't matter if I have ailments, doesn't matter if I have other conditions, and the list can go on and on and on. Many of us have, like I say, our own concepts, our own beliefs of how a person should treat us if they love us. Now, I don't know if you've given it a lot of thought, but such is the nature of man. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Now, y'all stay with me. I don't plan to be before you that long. I don't know if you'll find anyone who claims to know the Lord and has read our text for today, that which we just read from John, the third chapter. I don't, like I said, I don't know if you'll find anyone who's read this, okay, disagree that this is the greatest expression of love ever. The greatest expression of love ever for a father to give. I want you to understand what's being said here. To give his son to an ungrateful, disobedient, sin-filled world. If I don't go any further, that's far enough. Just to give his son to them, knowing full well that they're going to do so many disrespectful, terrible things to him. How can this not? How can this not be called the greatest example of love? The word says God loved the world. He loved them so much that he gave the world his only begotten son. This world. I don't want you to let that resonate in your mind, in your spirit for a moment. This is what God did. First off, I'm giving you my son. I want you to get this. Now, as you're letting that resonate, I want to many people read this passage and tend to focus only on the part that emphasizes eternal life. Eternal life. This is what so many people want to emphasize because they say, hey, if it's eternal, I can't lose it. It's mine forever. And this is why this verse is commonly, verse 3:16 is commonly called the fire insurance verse. Because so many of us believe that, hey, once I know that I believe Jesus and his word says this, and I'm standing on this. I've heard people say, listen, now, that when judgment comes and I go before the Lord, if I see anything that looks like a hesitation as they're reading the list and I'm waiting for my name to come up and say, hey, I believed in Jesus. I believe him. And he said that if my belief will allow me to have everlasting, eternal life. And many people believe that because I'm claiming it like that, that's what's going to work for me. Wish I had the time to go into what believing in Jesus entails. See, there are a lot of people. I've been saying this for a minute now, and I don't know if and when I'll ever stop saying it. There are many people that believe in God. Many people believe in Jesus. But a lot lot of those same people don't believe him. Let me repeat that. There are many people that believe in God, believe in Jesus, but they don't believe God. They don't believe Jesus. In other words, they don't believe the written word that he's given. Let me make it simple for you. If you find yourself in the court, for whatever reason, you find yourself before the judge in court. Now, a lot of times, while the court session is going on, you're looking up there, you're looking at this judge. And you say, okay, yeah, that's the judge. They're calling him Your Honor. Whether male or female, doesn't matter. You know, in this case, I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about in the judge of the land's case. And you say, that's a judge. And when it's all said, the judge may sentence you to go to jail for a certain amount of time. Now you said, I heard what the judge said. But I don't believe he condemned me to do X amount of time in jail. And you may not believe it until you find yourself in jail. It may take that for some people to really believe what was done, what was said. Well, beloved, the same thing when it comes to God. Now, there's many people want to continue going on. Well, I believe in God. I believe there's someone up there. I believe there's the creator. I want to call him the universe. You can call him all the different things you want, but you better believe him. He said, well, how am I going to believe him? Is he going to talk to me personally? He might, but he left us his word here. And when you read his word, he will tell you about himself. He will tell you about yourself. He will tell you about the things around you, the things that have happened, the things that are to come. But there are a lot of people still going around believing in him, but don't believe him. And they're not going to believe him until they find themselves in the position of judgment. And if he's judging you as an unbeliever, that's not going to be good. And you'll have no excuse. Because if you believed him, and not just believed in him, you would have believed his word. But let's go a little bit further and see if this becomes a little bit clearer to you. Okay. Now I want to look a little bit deeper into this familiar passage. Just a little bit deeper. Okay. And see if we see something a little bit deeper than simply, okay, my fire insurance verse. Okay. Eternal life. That's great. Oh, that's great. There's a little bit more in this passage than that. And that is why we're talking to you today from the subject. Do you recognize love when you see it? Do you recognize love when you see it? Oh, there's some people that are thinking right now. I let that woman get away from me. I let that man get away from me because I wanted this. I wanted that. I wanted this. And I didn't recognize the expressions of love that they were showing me. Love that went beyond my little surface things, goes beyond my old, you love me, you'll buy me these shoes, you'll buy me this, you'll buy me that. Now I'm thinking about this person is willing to share their life with you. This person is ready to commit themselves to you, to be with you through thick through thin, through ups, through downs, through good, through bad, through sunshine, through rain, just to be with you, to be able to walk with you, maybe to go up and down the fancy streets where all the different clothes and different shops are, and sometimes y'all walk down there. Maybe it may wind up turning into hours and haven't brought a single thing. I haven't bought a single thing. Smokey Robinson, the American, used to sing a song, "Can You Love a Poor Boy? Can You Love a Poor Boy?" Think about these things. Think about that person who's willing to stick around when the doctor says, "Yes, you have such and such and such an ailment, and it's going to cause maybe your body to go down and down and all that," yet they still stay there. They're still there. Do you recognize love when you see it? People are laughing at you. Maybe you had an accident, whatever that accident may be, that has people laughing and everybody around you making fun of you, but not this one particular person. Maybe they came to you and said, let me escort you out of here. Do you recognize love when you see it? That person who's with you when you're starting at the very bottom of your job, and now you might have reached the pinnacle, the top of what this job has to offer. You say, "Well, I guess now they're gonna do like so many other people do. They get to the top and they kick that person who's been with them through all those rough times. They kick them to the curb." But I say, "Oh no. Oh no, I told you then that I was committed to you. I still am. I still am." Do you recognize love when you see it? In this passage of scripture, I'm going to go through a few of these verses and then points in there, and then we're going to let this go. First off, it says, "For God so loved the world." Now, can you believe? Can you believe? Now, listen. "That with man being as disobedient, uncaring, and sinful as he was, God still loved man." He said he loved the world. Not the earth. I'm not talking about the soil, the plants, and all that. We're not talking about that in this instance. He said he loved the world. All the men, all the women, all the children. He loved the world. He loved it all. All of them. The rich, the poor, the dumb, the blind, the downtrodden. All of them. He loved them all. But even though he loved man. Even though man's sinful nature put him in such a position that he would not be able to escape God's wrath, he would not be able to spend eternity in God's presence. Even when man got to the point that he became filled, born into sin. God, who can't stand to be in the presence of sin. And here is man that he loved, filled with sin. His very nature is sinful. God loved him. Yes, but you can't be with me eternally. Yes, I can grant you a long time here on this earth. I can have you here even for hundreds of years. But at some point, you're going to die. Thank your forefather, you thank Adam and Eve for this. At some point, you're going to die. So, and when you die, yes, because you're so full of sin, I can't bring you to stay with me. I can't have that sin here in heaven. I can't have that sin in my presence. But I do love you. Tell you what I'm going to do. I love you. There's only one way, only one way that you could be in my presence. And it starts with me giving my only son to man. I could give my only son to you. This is the beginning of this is how it starts. I got to give you my only son. That's what I'm going to do. Now, I'm not just sending him there as a messenger, as some type of herald. No, I said, I'm giving him to you. I know that when I give him to you, I already know how you're going to treat him. I know it. I know how you're going to treat him, how you're going to abuse him, how you're going to lie on him, how you're going to plot on him, how you're going to kill him. But if there's any, well, not if there's any, the only chance you'll have to be with me, that he comes. If he comes. So I'm going to give him to you. Next, let me share this with you. Let's go a little bit further. I could go deeper into all of these. You know that we can. But let's see what we can get to with this. Now, I'm sending him to you. And guess what? Whoever believes, I want you to listen to this. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. You say, wait a minute. Didn't you just say something a little while ago about there's many people that's going to believe in God? Many people that's going to believe in Jesus. That's what I said, and that's what I meant. But also remember what I said. I said there's many people that's going to, that believe in God, believe that there is God, but they don't believe. But here, where to say that whoever believes in him, I want you to believe in him. I want when you hear him teach, when you see the miracles that he does, when you listen to him preach, I want you to believe it. Believe in what he says. Believe in what he does. I want you to believe it. You've got to believe in him. Even to the point where he comes before those of you who are educated, those of you who are religious, those of you who are upstanding in the community that you live in, when he tells you that you must be born again, you better believe him. When you ask him, how can somebody who's old be born again, and he tells you better believe it. Because he also tells you, listen, if you're not born again, not only will you not be able to see the kingdom of God, you'll have no parts of it. You can't enter into it. Without being born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, can't even see it. You won't recognize it. That's like somebody speaking a foreign language to you that you never learned. It will make no sense to you. You can see it, you can hear them speak it. They can speak it eloquently, they can speak it clearly. But if you don't understand it, it will make no sense to you. That's how the kingdom of God will appear to so many. They won't recognize it when they see it. It's just like some people, the way they express love to someone. It's pure love. Sometimes everybody else around them can see it, but they don't see it. Some people say, I don't understand. How can that woman love that guy? He's not the most handsome. He's not making the most money. He doesn't live extravagantly. I mean, what is it about him that she could possibly love? What is it about her that he could possibly love? She's not the most beautiful. And they go on all this surface stuff as we talked about. What about this Jesus? He's teaching and preaching stuff that we're not used to. He's saying things that, hey, sometimes it's bordering on the verge of blasphemy. I mean, he's talking about he's God. He and the Father are one. If you see me, you've seen the Father. What kind of stuff is he teaching? Even to the point where he eventually said, listen, let's crucify him. And even there, so many read this and see even what he did. Up unto the cross, even. We still have to ask the question, do you recognize love when you see it? You saw the Father giving his son, and now you see the son giving his life. For what? For who? For love of man. For love of you, for love of me. He did this over 2,000 years ago because he knew that 2,000 and so many years later, Henry Cotton would want to come and be born again. That's why he did it. And it didn't say that whoever believes in him shall not die. We know, as we've looked through the word deeper, what that completely means, and I'm not going down there now. But notice he says, whosoever believes shall not perish. Why are we using the word perish here? Because that's what it says. Because there's something happening, there's something, an event that's going to happen, that's going to take place. That's going to wipe billions out. But you don't have to experience that if you believe in Jesus and believe what he says in his word. You won't have to experience that. You won't have to go through that. He said, what are you talking about? This is why you have to believe him, and not just believe in him, believe his word. And he told you to look into his word. He told you to read his word, keep his word. His word, he said, the psalmist said, that word have I hid in my heart. That means I've taken it, I read it, I digest it, and I let it just linger in there. It's in there. To keep me, because I cannot keep myself. word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee? Keep it in there. Jesus, yes. Whoever believes in Jesus, because he's the only begotten Son, shall not perish. When God pours out his wrath upon the earth, and it's going to happen, those who believe in Jesus don't have to worry about that. I ain't gonna be here. You talk about fire insurance. That's what this is. Am I gonna talk to you about what it means to believe in Jesus? Not today. Another message for another time. But the key thing is, just because you say, I believe in God, that alone don't cut it. That alone don't cut it. Your faith without works is dead. You got to prove it. You don't have to prove it to me. You believe, prove it. But that's again, like I said, another message for another time. After this, and I'm about finished already. I told you I wasn't going to be before you long. He says, but to save the world through him, whoever believes in him shall not perish. What does he say in the 17th verse? He says, okay, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Yes, man is sinful. Man is born in sin. Man is filled with sin. And Jesus, God didn't send Jesus here. He said, oh, yeah, that one goes to hell. That one goes there. That one goes hell. That one over there he goes to. That's not what Jesus came here for. Jesus came here to provide a place, excuse me, the way for you to come to the place where he's going to be at eternally with his Father. Yes, in the state that you're in, you can't make it. Can't get there. He said, my Father don't have any sin in his house, in his home. No sin's going to be there. You need to be wiped clean. And the only way that can happen is we look upon man. I'm not worried about the outer part. See, that's going to return to the dust no matter what. To the dust from where it came. But the soul is going to come, it's going to come back to God. Yes, you're going to be given a different body when you stand before him. You're not going to be like Casper, the friendly ghost, some disembodied spirit. You're going to have a body when you stand before him. And this soul is going to come before him. Now, if this soul comes before him and he has to judge this soul because of the sin, it's not going to be good. He said, no, you can't come to my house. You can't stay with me. Be gone. But if you had believed Jesus, if you believed the word, and yes, you became born again. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. He'd be able to say to you, come on, enter into the joy of your Lord. You recognized love when it came to you. It wasn't flashy. He didn't come to you all flashy, glamorous. He came to you, making no reputation for himself. Folks said many things about him, but he came to you plain. He came to you teaching, telling you many things. He made some disciples, apostles who walked with him. He showed you that even those that will be so close to him, that would die with, that would put their hands in the very bowl that he's putting in to sop out of to eat, even one of them could be a devil. He knew that from the beginning, as close as he was to Jesus, maybe even to the point that or times he would lay his head upon the master's breast, because it was such calming and peaceful. But yet, from the beginning, he was nothing but a devil. The Lord showed you that sometimes those around you who say they love you doesn't have to be so. He let you know that. I'll let you know them. I'll give you a spirit of discernment. When you become one of mine, when you become born again, not only will I dwell in you, my precious Holy Spirit will dwell in you. We'll give you some gifts also. Yes, you'll know. Saints, I'm going to say this to you. He said, he did not come to condemn you, but to save you. Said, but to come and to provide the means for you to be born again, to be saved. He's the only one that could do it. We look through the corridors of time. Abraham couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Surely Adam couldn't do it. Elijah, Jacob, Joshua. The list goes on and on. None of them were worthy. None of them could provide a way for any of us to get from earth to glory. None of us could provide the means for us to be born again so that we can get rid of this sin that's in our life, the sinful nature, the desire even to commit sin. None of them could provide the way for us to be that way but Jesus. Beloved, I'm saying this to you, and I'm going to be finished. Because, listen, beloved, because man is born sinful and has that sinful nature, the only way he can enter into God's presence, I've said this already, I cannot say it enough, is to be rid of that sinful nature. And the only way that man can be rid of it, the only way that man can start over, is for man to be born again. And the only way that man can be born again is for that man to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he says and what he has done. And you have to understand that Jesus suffered, bled, died, resurrected, and ascended into heaven so that man can have a chance to be with him and God the Father in heaven. That's what Jesus did. This is what God the Father sent his son to do. He said, yeah, I'm going to need you to suffer. Oh, we read about him suffering physically. He said, but I'm going to need you to suffer like you never had before. I'm going to have you leave here from the glory of heaven where we have lived eternally in nothing but a peaceful, ultimate peaceful state. But I'm going to need you to leave from here, son. And I'm going to need you to come up just like man does. I'm going to prepare a vessel for you to do this. But I'm going to need you to come this way. I'm going to need you to grow up just like man does. I'm going to need you to be tempted in all things just like man does. I'm going to need you to put up with man's scum. scoffings, man's lies. Because they're going to do that. Because one, they're going to be jealous of you. All of these negative things, the sinful natures, they're going to do that. They're going to be envious of you. Because you're going to speak and teach with such authority that they're going to be astonished that someone will start out at your age and be able to teach those who have lived multiple, many years prior to you and over you, much older than you. But yet you'll teach them. And then some of them will hate the fact that they're learning from you. You have to put up with all that. Son, they're going to beat you. Yes, they are. They're going to draw your blood. You'll feel that pain. And ultimately, you're going to go all the way to the cross. And you're going to suffer some more. But remember, always remember why you're there. Remember that you're going there for this. And only by your shed blood will man have a chance to be with us. And I say he'll have a chance because man is going to have to believe. He's going to have faith that even though your blood was red as scarlet, it would be able to wash their sins white as snow. They're going to have to believe that. They're going to have to believe that there's no other way. They're going to have to believe that the blood that is shed by lambs and sheep and goats and whatever else they make sacrifice is not good enough. That only your blood, only by believing in you and what you came here to do and what you have done, is enough to get them from earth to glory. They're going to need to recognize love when they see it. The love that I have for them, the love that you have for them, the love that you have for me, that you would even do such a thing, knowing full well that at any time if you said, Father, Papa, Abba, I've had enough. I've had enough. Man, he don't want to recognize love when he see it. He don't want to receive the love that I'm offering. He's so busy focusing on his present situation. How much money can he get? How much prestige can he attain? How much power can he get? That's all he's focusing on. Not realizing that there's something after this. Something after. So many don't see that. And that's why so many are going to be lost. Because they refuse to recognize love when they see it. They only have their concept of love. A loving God won't send me to hell. They don't realize I'm not sending anyone to hell. I'm saying, whosoever will, let him come. I've given you a choice. I've given you the ability to make your own choice. You don't have to accept Jesus. You don't have to believe him. You don't have to recognize the example of love that he's showing you. But there's a consequence. But whatever you believe. But I want you to know something, and God, I'm so glad you put this on the table. There's only two places to go. Let me put it this way. Only one will have me there. Only one will have Jesus there. When you read in the word about Lazarus going to this place to rest in Abraham's bosom, there's only one place, the same place where he'll be. That place where Job declared the wicked will cease from their troubling. My weary soul will be at rest. There's only one place. You see, because of the love, this is what God is saying to you, and I'm going to let this go. He said, because I love you, I provided for you a way to be where I am. Because see, where I am, no liars will be there. No fornicators will be there. No. Those who want to practice these things, they will not be there. Those who want to continue to be disobedient to my word, they won't be there. No. Liars, even those who disobedient to their parents, that's the kind of life you want to live. You won't be there. None of those who want to practice sin will be there. None of them who want to live being disobedient to me will be there. So yes, you'll be in a place. You won't have to be looking behind you to see who's there. A place of peace, total peace, absolute peace. That's because I love you. And I want you to be there eternally. A place where you can rest eternally. Those who chose not to believe, they'll go to wherever it is they believe. And I know that if you're not in heaven, you never chose to receive my son. You never chose to believe in my son. Then you'll go in a place where others who made the same decision as you did to follow after what the scriptures say, your father, the devil. You want to follow him, you'll be living where he's living at for eternity. And that's hell in the lake of fire. It's only two choices. It's only two places. Do you recognize love when you see it? Do you see the love in this passage of scripture now? Can you see a love like that? How many of you are willing to give your child to people that you know that's going to abuse him? Lie. How many of you are willing to do that? Do you recognize love when you see it? God bless you, beloved. Heaven smile upon you. There's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did. And if you look in the scriptures and you believe him, you'll find where he's also said, I call you friend. God bless you. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. We're gonna turn this loose for today. Do you recognize love when you see it? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that your word has shown us so many things. That you would show us, Lord, how to recognize love, true love. It's not just what we want love to be. It's not just how we want love to be expressed, but to be able to see love when it's right there before us, formed right before us. We thank you. And Lord, as we continue even in this day, Let us live and walk in your spirit. Let us conduct ourselves in such a manner that even those in the world will be able to see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our life and living. But this we do pray in Jesus' name. And most of all, Lord, we pray that someone has heard this word and that they want it to be and heard it and ask you, Lord, to make them born again so that they too can be recipients of this love that you have shown for us, the love of dying, suffering, bleeding, dying, and resurrecting for us. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. For us all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.